knock on our door.
Come knock on our door.
I've been waiting for you.
Never, never do.
There's no need to fear. Underdog is here.
Just a good old boy. Never meaning no harm.
Sit right back and you'll hear a tale.
Here we come.
Greetings and salutations. We are Pop Culture.
Welcome back to episode 19 of Pop Culture, which we've titled Doing Whatever a Spider Can. And that means, yes, folks, I finally get to talk about one of my earliest icons, Spider-Man. Because to me, I had a trinity, I guess, that led me down the pop culture road. Back when I was very, very little. Honestly, they all came out in 1966. And that was the year I was born, of course. So I was probably about three or four by the time I started picking up on any of them. But that was the 1966 Batman series, the 1966 Star Trek series, and the 1966 Spider-Man cartoon. So when I got old enough, that was my trinity that took me to the stars and to the heroes and everything else. So anyway, folks, this is the episode that we're doing. We are four men because unfortunately Ron still hasn't unfrozen on here on the porch, but we're waiting for him to thaw out. I turned the heater up. But I do have the other three here with me. Allow me to introduce myself because I don't think I did that in the last episode. I let everybody introduce themselves and I just didn't, but no one cares. I am your host, also known as the kingpin of this group. My name is Brian Burchett Ross. And also with me is my own Dr. Octopus, also known as
Otto Octavius.
Also Robert, known as
Robert Yeoman.
Awesome. And my own Vulture, also known as
Jeff Finley.
And my own, and by the way, it was going to be my own Craven the Hunter, which was Ron. So unfortunately, Craven has frozen himself on here on the porch. And then finally, my own Norman Osborn, also known as
Dave Warm, but you can call me David.
Go back to myself. No.
And this Norman is wondering, you keep saying we have titled. I must be missing those meetings when we go over the titles.
You are.
Okay. I just wanted to throw that out there.
You miss staff meetings.
Yeah. Yes. You are. You all are, actually, because I sit in my room and when I think these titles up and go, what do you think, Jeff? I think that's fine. Right. What do you think?
I'm not saying anything against you. Just an observation.
Yeah. No.
Let me go take my goblin serum. No, right.
But anyway, how are you guys doing today?
We're good. I'm fine.
I know you
Brian.
Seemed a lot livelier in the last episode. Yeah, well, you really you did. Know. Yeah. all this time has gone by.
Caffeine high's gone down.
Oh, it's gone down now? I guess I should be.
Well, I just wanted to ask, where is the direction for Spider Pig?
Where is the direction for Spider Pig?
Spider Pig.
Yeah.
Spider
Simpsons.
Pig. Oh, yes.
Yeah, Simpsons. Spider Pig does.
I forgot about that.
No, he can't.
He's a pig. Look out. Here comes the spider pig.
For all of you that
thought
we were
done. There's no spider pig now. It's Harry Plopper.
Warning.
Harry Plopper.
Yes. Harry Plopper. Was it?
Yeah.
Harry Plopper. Yeah.
For all those who thought we were done singing in the last episode, we're not, apparently. I got a joke for you guys, though.
Oh, sure.
Okay. Why did Spider-Man's evil twin fail his driver's test?
You know, that's not funny because he does have an evil twin. It is a clone.
Yeah. But not Ben Reilly clone.
Yeah, Ben Reilly's a clone.
But he wasn't evil. He was a Scarlet Spider. Now, Kane.
Tomato, tomato.
Kane was another twin that was evil, I think.
I don't know how many clones there are.
There's a whole bunch. But anyway.
Why did the
Spider-Man's evil twin fail his driver's test? Anyone know?
No. I do not.
No.
He was a bad parallel Parker.
Oh, man.
There we go. Wow, that was
that's a dad joke.
That was the dad joke of the night. My first on-air.
Nobody can parallel park.
So, anyway, we're talking about Spider-Man today, at comics and movies and TV, because Spider-Man media. We can whatever you guys feel like throwing out or throwing up there. either way, it's fine with me. Give you a little history. Spider-Man is created by Stan Lee and artist Steve Ditko. Stan the Man and Steve Ditko. He first appeared in the anthology comic book. Anybody know?
Amazing Tales.
Tales to Astonish.
Mm-mm, that was Thor.
Wasn't Amazing?
Oh, no.
It wasn't Tales Amazing was, Tales, though, right?
Tales to Astonish
was... Oh, that, was that Thor? Okay.
It was either Thor or...
It wasn't Amazing
Ant-Man.
Tales, was it?
It was Amazing Fantasy.
Fantasy.
Number 15, actually.
That's why it was Amazing, amazing Spider-Man. Okay.
They named the big ship from Walt Disney the Fantasy. Oh. Just a coincidence? I don't think so.
I'm surprised I didn't know that.
Spider-Man first appeared in the early 1960s. And basically Stan said, you know, he had a dream. He supposedly what he said was that he dreamt the idea up. And then after he was thinking about it, he said it made sense to him because at that point, the only sidekick, the only teens were sidekicks. You had Robin with Batman. You had Kid Flash with Flash. You had Bucky with Captain America. So you really didn't have a true teen superhero. Now, Dave seems to be like, maybe that's not totally true.
I wouldn't say totally because Billy Batson, who was not in publication at the time, though I think by then DC had got the original Captain Marvel out of the way, but you know, he would be argued to be the teen hero, though he did turn into an adult when he said the magic word.
Right.
And I think Steve Ditko would be a little bit more inclined to put Mr. Lee down, saying, you contributed the name. Because everything else was basically Ditko.
Well,
so I'm trying to think. So I'll give Stan this one.
Right.
It doesn't matter. I mean,
yeah. Well, from what you said, Bob, and I know throughout all these decades that I've read comics and that and read interviews.
Yeah, but I would say the original Marvel family were all teens.
Yeah, they were. You're right. And that was in the 40s, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But Stan the Man was basically the face. They say he created...
A creation.
The Star-Spangled Kid also was a teen, and he had the adult sidekick, Stripesy.
Wow. That's our show for tonight. We thank you very much.
There were different times back
then. Listen, I'm just telling you what Wikipedia said, okay? If it comes from Wikipedia,
it's got to be true.
Guess I got to go in and edit it. But I'm sure Stan said that, but I'm thinking, there were so many characters even by then.
Yeah.
I think.
Because there was more than just the two or three comic
company. Well, and frankly, in his own 40s. Company by this point, because I think the Fantastic Four preceded Spider-Man.
Ooh. Yes.
Yeah.
Johnny Storm.
Storm was a teen.
So teen. But they didn't, and then it goes on to say that...
But he was part of groups.
But he was part of the group, but they didn't show that teen angst. That's the true. Stories weren't built around the teen angst.
That's very true.
And let's face it, Peter had problems. From the very beginning. I mean, he was not good with women. He was nerdy. He was a teenager.
Biggest forehead you've ever seen.
It was a pretty big forehead.
He was bullied.
He was obviously one of the biggest earliest commercial successes for Marvel. Probably he took off more than I would think, even Fantastic Four. Four was preceded him, but Spider-Man,
I'm sure, even today, is still the number one character.
Oh, yeah. I would think so as well. He was seen in countless forms of media, including several animated TV series, live-action television series in the 70s.
Mm.
With Nicholas Hammond.
Yeah, where the spider web was a rope.
Yes. It was just one little split, right?
Well, I thought, I remember it was being a pretty thick rope. It was like,
yeah.
It just,
I loved him walking down the wall backwards.
Yes.
They literally just took the clip of him going up and flipped it all around.
Yeah.
It's like, well, God, give the actor some perks for that.
Yeah. I remember the very first time I was, my husband and I, way, way back, 24 or 5 years ago now, sitting there watching Sound of Music for the first time. And I remember we were sitting there, and the first time Nicholas Hammond, who played the oldest child, showed up, and I went, it's Peter Parker. And he went, I don't know what you're talking about. This.
Like, oh, really?
1970s, it was in the series.
Yeah, yeah, and it's interesting because, you know, they had such a success with the Hulk. Mm-hmm. But then when they try to do these other TVs, it's like, I think you should have used the Hulk as your example and be a little more serious about it. Because they had an awful Captain America at the time, too.
Right.
With the rubber
that I happen to have on DVD because, you know, nostalgia. But it's like, this was, you know.
They missed the mark.
When Captain America is going down the road with a bike with a shield in front and the shield is wobbling.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, my God.
Impenetrable shield.
Thor was horrible.
Well, Thor, they just decided to do a Viking
theme.
You know,
It didn't look like they put too much research.
I mean, comics. The actors were, you know, actually people have gone on to do other things, but it was like, oh, gosh.
No, Wonder Woman, though, however, was a success.
But that wasn't Marvel.
Yeah, that was DC. DC seemed to have a much better success rate with their TV shows than even The Flash, the Wesley Shipp's Flash was a pretty
decent. Well, the problem with the first Flash, they relied too heavily on the Batman movie.
Yeah.
Stylistically, they made it look like Tim Burton. It's like Central City is a whole different town than Gotham.
Very, very. Mm-hmm. He had the fuzzies on his costume.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a very confusing outfit for many individuals.
Especially for him.
Yeah. But,
God bless him.
Anyway, he was, like I said, the TV series. He was portrayed, he was a reoccurring character on the Electric Company, watching. And I remember I watched it for two people, Spider-Man, and for some reason, even way back then, and this started in 74, so I wasn't on 1090, I was probably 8 at the time, I had this infatuation with Marita Moreno, on that. Yeah. And even back then, I was just like, my God, I just love this woman, there's something about her. And it's funny because, and we'll tangent again here for a second. When I told my mother, we were watching it one day, and she's like, oh, there's Spider-Man. I said, yeah. And then I pointed and I said, I like her. And my mom said, well, that's Rita Moreno. And I said, well, she's funny. And, you know, and she would sing once in a while on the show or whatever. And I said, I just like her. Yeah. And my mom, that was the moment my mom said, I want you to listen to something. And she got out the soundtrack to the record to West Side Story. Yeah. And she said, this is the same woman. And she played, I'd like to live in America. And so then that sold me on West Side Story and the whole bit. So a little bit of a. And then, of course, as we propel into the future, we had the movies, Spider-Man with Tobey Maguire, Spider-Man with Andrew Garfield, and, of course, Tom Holland. No. That's a hill I'll die on. But we could talk about it.
Okay. I've got some prime real estate for you.
Do you? Okay. And a bridge, I bet, too. And then, of course, there was Reeve Carney, who originated a Spider-Man that has hardly been seen on Broadway. Into the Darkness or
Into the Emergency Room?
Into the Emergency Room.
Is that a musical?
That was a musical. Spider-Man the musical, and it bombed.
The special effects. They were literally injuring the cast.
Yeah.
Julie Taymor was the director, and she was definitely on cocaine.
Yeah, and from Lion King fame, so they expected.
Really, I didn't know that.
That's a disappointment.
You just see the look of disgust in Bono's face there, the making of video, and them just going, this is not what I signed up for. This has got nothing to do with Spider-Man.
Yeah, because you too did the music wrote the music for it.
So it was Into the Dark. Yeah.
Into the Dark.
Did any of you ever, and obviously Jeff didn't, but did either of you ever listen to the soundtrack?
Oh, yeah, I've got it.
Do you? Is the music any good?
No.
Okay.
Oh, I like the love theme.
Okay.
When they're stretched out in the web.
Yeah. Oh, and I'm really tangenting off here, but I don't care. I'll just screw the notes. I'm curious because this to me is a discussion that me and my boys have had over and over and over. Who is your favorite or your least favorite movie actor to play Spider-Man?
Are we going back to Nicholas Hammond?
Sure, we could do that too. I'm thinking the three top actors that played him in the movies.
I don't think I have a least favorite.
Or just a favorite.
I guess the least is going to be the one that everyone says Garfield. Or Garfield, is that right?
Yeah, Andrew Garfield.
Andrew Garfield, just the fact that I can never remember his name. I still don't know how they got all that hair under his costume.
The mask.
That's right. That's right. He's got the puffy hair.
Puffy hair. It's like, that just doesn't make sense.
Okay. He had a hairnet.
But I mean, I'm nothing against, you know, I'm sure he's a fine actor.
I've seen him in some really good stuff. I really have. How about you, Jeff?
So I would say Tobey Maguire. I just think that there's, I know, but I think there's just a lot of innocence about him. I think transparency. I'm not a huge Spider-Man fan.
Yeah, I kind of.
But I liked Tobey Maguire.
I still say that's why Ron froze himself to death on this porch, so he didn't want to talk about Spider-Man. What about you, Bob?
Tom Holland.
Anyway, we're going to move on. No, really, Tom Holland?
Yeah, definitely. He's finally, in order to have Spider-Man, it's got to be Spider-Boy. And that's what we've been seeing so far, is Spider-Boy. Spider-Man comes when he rejects Tony Stark's stuff and is just Spider-Man in a friendly neighborhood. He shouldn't be in outer space on different planets. He's friendly neighborhood. He should be street level, like Daredevil and Black Cat.
But eventually in the comics, he goes out into space, and
everybody does in comics,
and becomes an Avenger eventually, although I've never thought Spider-Man should be an Avenger. But
no, he should be, if anything, a Defender.
Yeah, I agree with you there.
It'd be ground level. But no, I like him. I think he's gonna, he actually is believable with his shirt off as Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
I suppose. I think he's just believable with his shirt off.
Oh, that too.
And Dave rolls his eyes right on cue. Bing!
After our last hour, I'm keeping mom trying to be nice here. So I like him, so I'm going with him. But yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Mine's Andrew Garfield.
Which is interesting, because if you compare the movies to the comics, they make a big deal with the Tobey Maguire movies if he gets bit by the spider, suddenly he gets these muscles. That's not how it happened in the comics. The original Peter Parker was stick thin all through high school.
Even after he got bit
because when you have proportional strength of the spider, you don't have to have, you know, be big and bulky,
right?
But it was later on that they started drawing more like a traditional superhero.
And it's funny because my boys both say Tobey Maguire as well. They're not, they like Tom Holland, but theirs is his favorite is I believe Garfield, and to me he is my least favorite. Mostly because, and I can't say that maybe it's all him, maybe it was the way he was directed and the way it was written, but I have never seen a Peter Parker who cries as much as Andrew Garfield did. And even in this last Tom Holland film, which I loved the last one. I loved the fact that they brought all of these back as multiverse characters. Yeah. Did you see the last one?
Yeah.
And I kid you not, you can time. It's less than 10 minutes before Andrew Garfield's crying. And I'm like, why do we have to have a weepy Peter? I did not mean that one.
I think you should have that checked if you have.
There's something to be said about penicillin.
That's going on. I'm better.
That was not planned.
Here's my doctor. Go.
Well, you're just going all over the universe now.
this episode's be better than I thought it was.
No,
But that's what has always bothered me about about his care, his version of it is he just cries. Now, sure, I mean he gets the famous scene with a variation of the scene with Gwen, and I'll give you that. But I mean, come on.
Well, again,
he cries at everything.
I think you nailed it. I think that's a director's fault.
Mm-hmm. And it could be director. And
I don't know. Was he in anything else? Because the name doesn't.
Andrew?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Something about a
I think he was in The Social Network.
I think he. Yeah, that sounds familiar.
The Facebook movie.
Yeah. Yes.
He was the business manager that got fired early.
And he was also in the movie version of a Broadway musical that. We actually talked about on our other podcast called The Art and Business of Community Theater, Monroe Community Players podcast, that our friend Kathleen went and saw, which was the precursor to Rent. But I can't remember the name of it.
In the Heights.
Mm-mm. In the Heights.
Oh,
was,
no, that's your, that's
what's his name?
It's what's Lin-Manuel. His face with
yeah, that's Lin-Manuel. But what was the name of?
Tick, Tick, Boom.
Tick, Tick, Boom. Tick, Tick, he boom. Was the Steven lead Larson. In that.
So how was
Larson?
And he was great in that. He has a good voice. He has a very good voice.
He didn't cry. Didn't weep.
No. Well, I mean, there's a scene. Yes.
Yeah, but maybe that's what he's known for. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. It could be his stock and trade. Oh, we got weepy guy.
Yeah.
Well, let's get what's his face.
Yeah.
Andrew Garfield. Well, I mean, he was good. Don't get me wrong. He was very good in that. I have seen him in a couple other things. I think that Facebook was one of them, that Facebook movie. But Tick, Tick, Boom was, he had the lead in that. And he was a good singer, good dancer, very good.
Well, yeah, he's more of the romantic lead kind type, I guess.
Yeah. Toby, I didn't mind Toby up until the third movie. But again, I think a lot of that's the director stuff. Because when he went emo and did that stupid dance. And that was just a bad movie to begin with because they had too many.
The director wanted it done one way. The studios held. It rains.
Yeah. Raimi didn't do that one.
No, yeah. Oh. And the director just went, well, fine. If you're going it that way, let's go over the top with it.
Yeah.
And so he was basically to the studios for the emo, especially the emo scene.
Yeah. And I've heard a lot since then. I've heard a lot of things about how he is with his fans and stuff. And
really? Wow.
Yeah, Toby. So, and I don't know if it's true.
It might be.
It's not like I haven't witnessed it like I did the acting of Matthew Broderick. Oh. But again, that's a different
thing. He was in Hacksaw Ridge, too.
Yeah, was he really?
Tom Holland.
No, I'm talking about Garfield.
Well, Garfield. Oh,
Garfield.
So he's been in a lot of, it looks like he's been in several, Tick, Tick, Boom. Looks like he usually does dramas.
And he's in Doctor Who. The Daleks Take Manhattan.
Was he?
Yes.
Angels in America. A national live performance, something.
Oh, wow. So he does stage work as well, then. Mm-hmm. That makes sense. That does make sense.
Because you can cry all you want on stage and no one's going to see it.
Let's go back to the to comics for just a second, though. And have I messed this up? I probably have. Spider-Man started in the 60s, and then in the 70s, they had they really cranked up the angst with him by doing the one thing that I don't think had been done with a character as I'm trying to think of the word. Intricate to the story as they did killing off his girlfriend Gwen Stacy. I think that was a huge shocker.
That was unique at the time.
Yeah. And the fact that actually, although he was fighting Green Goblin, Goblin didn't kill her. He killed her. Mm-hmm. I don't know how much comics you've ever seen with, but they're fighting on one of the bridges, right. And she falls because of the Green Goblin, and he shoots his web to catch her, but then when he catches her and he pulls, it's too hard, and her head goes back and snaps and kills her. So
and the way the artist did it was great. It was a single panel, and just a very small lettering in white just went snap.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
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 It was
the brilliant physics major.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Screwed up. But yeah. Again, he was in a panic.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. You're in a fight or flight mode.
Well, it's kind of the thing that the comics don't really address a lot of is that, you know.
Yeah. They don't know.
With great power comes the possibility of great harm.
Yeah.
And they just want to make sure they don't kill everybody off in the movies because they're going to need them down the line.
Yeah. For sequels. Yeah. And.
Yeah. But you know.
They've got people now on the Ghost, I think the character's name is. It's like, oh, it's the greatest thing. You know, everybody loves this character. And like, never heard it, never saw anything except in trade paperbacks.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you're using up all your characters.
I know.
But I think I don't think they really had killed, they really had that done that.
Yeah.
You probably didn't see it again until Crisis in Infinite Earths from DC.
Now, was Jean Crisis Gray.
Of Jean Grey?
You're right, Jean Grey was probably the next
Grey,
big yeah, one.
You're right, yeah. Jean Grey would have been the next one in the X-Men.
Yeah. And then was Crisis where they wiped out a lot of people.
But they wiped out two of the biggest.
Supergirl
and the Flash.
And the Flash,
yeah. Barry Allen Flash.
Yeah.
I mean, they quickly came back and brought in a new Flash and eventually redid Supergirl. And now after two or three universe resets, we're back to the
original.
As close as we're going to get to the original Kara Zor-El,
which bothers me a little bit. And I know we're tangenting off to different comics, but I read DC and Marvel since I was little, and I remember Barry, I remember Hal, I remember Bruce and Clark have always been pretty much Bruce has been off and on, but I ended up truly liking Wally West as Flash more than Barry. And I will say the same thing about Kyle Rayner as Green Lantern.
Kyle Rayner is my favorite Green Lantern.
Yeah.
No, John Stewart still my favorite
John? Green Lantern. Yeah. Yeah. And I get you.
Well,
there.
And then go back to Marvel, what's kind of interesting, now they say nobody dies in comics, which is true because, even Bucky Barnes is alive.
Right.
And I think Bucky Barnes, so that probably really kind of started it because they killed Bucky. Did they do that off comic, though, essentially?
Yeah, it was during the invisible years between the end of the war.
It was the end of the war and then before Kirby brought back.
They brought Cap back and I think that finally then they'd explained what happened to Bucky.
But they didn't bring Bucky back until, I believe, the 80s.
Very late.
Yeah,
80s or 90s.
With the Winter Soldier.
With the Winter Soldier story. Yeah, which was
brilliant. It's interesting
to
kind of sit down and look at the characters who stayed the dead the longest.
Yeah.
And Uncle Ben is probably the
only one. Well, I don't say only, but yeah, Uncle Ben is number one, as in they've never brought. Well, I don't want to say never.
They brought back versions of him, but not
the Uncle
and
Ben.
Not forever.
Yeah. Yeah.
They
even brought back Thomas Wayne. So.
Yeah, I know. They'll bring back anybody.
Only now they're evil. Yeah.
But I know I would have put Barry Allen and Supergirl on that list because they were dead quite a good long time.
Yeah, they were. Very much so. Then in the comics in the 80s, the big thing was the infamous black costume
that came
from the Secret Wars, the first Secret Wars.
Secret Wars.
Yeah. Made with the technology they didn't understand, and then it turns out it was evil.
It was a symbiote. Yeah. It was like, well, because they knew, you knew they were going to have to put him back in the traditional suit eventually. But there were enough people, I think, that liked that black suit that it was like, okay, we've got to keep the look.
It was sharp.
Oh, it was very sharp.
And also cut down on labor from all those spider webs.
Yeah, with the drawing of, definitely. And that's when, which truly is one of my personal least favorite villains, Venom, was created.
Mm-hmm.
Also, it just was bad art. I forget what the name of the artist was at that time for Secret Wars.
Oh, and I don't remember who did Secret Wars.
And it was like everybody had
probably a lot of artists, though, right? Because that was a big crossover event.
Yeah,
but the main one.
Yeah,
it was like everybody had 8-foot-wide shoulders and 1/16 inch ankles.
Was that Todd McFarlane?
No, it was Don Heck, I wanted to say.
Ooh, Don Heck, because he was back in the 50s and 60s.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he was.
No wonder he was probably old. He was probably just. He starts and then he just kind of falls asleep.
I'd have to look it up.
Yeah,
but I did not like Secret Wars. I'll tell you
the first one?
Yeah.
I didn't care for the. I know they've done another one in the last 20 years, 10 yeah, or 20
I
years.
I have to look at the timing because I think Crisis came after Secret Wars, but I almost think it was the kind of thing that Marvel got wind of and said, we better
do something first.
Beat to the punch. Yeah. And so let's come up with our big crossover. And then you had big crossovers every single year.
That, oh, yes.
And that got old fast.
And
for both companies.
You got to collect all 23 in order to know what
the story was. Yeah. And if you want to know what happens to Cyclops in you know, at the end of the X-Men, you know, check out the next Captain America, which, you know, right. So it was like they just
with
made
a special
you.
Mylar cover.
Right. Yeah. It was a money grab.
But like I said, that's a tangent away from Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Who, for the most part, was, you know, they avoided using him in a lot of those crossovers, probably because his books were selling.
Well, and that's it. And there by the 1980s, he had The Amazing Spider-Man, Peter Parker, the Spectacular Spider-Man, and the Web of Spider-Man, I think, were the three big ones. And then he was in, I think he was the star of Marvel Team Up.
Right.
That sounds good.
Marvel Team Up, which is always Spider-Man.
But he had some sort of Team Up book.
Yeah.
And then the other one was with Ben Grimm.
The Thing.
That was Marvel 2-in-1.
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 Yeah. So, yeah, Spider-Man was a, you know, and I really, and as much as I did love Amazing Spider-Man, it was actually Spectacular Spider-Man that for some odd reason
I loved the most. And there was just Spider-Man, too.
There was one that just came out, Spider-Man. I think that was created by David you said his name, and I can't think of it now. The artist.
That was McFarlane. That's what I mentioned.
Yeah, David McFarlane.
Who does toys now, I think so.
Oh, does he?
Well, he does bankruptcy now.
Yeah. But yeah, in the 80s, that was the huge thing was that symbiote, you know, he got the costume. He came, you know, they all came back to Earth. And then, you know, he was, he got his suit back. And then Venom was created. Then there was Carnage, which was, in my opinion, even worse than that. It was almost like... Well,
Carnage was meant to be worse than Venom.
Right. But this was the point where I started stopping. I started to get a little disgusted with comics because, number one, the villains started becoming more interesting. People, the fans started to like the villains more than the heroes.
Oh. Yeah.
I mean, I'm not a huge fan of the Punisher.
Never have been.
Right. But, you know, they praise the Punisher. You know, so many fans just love the Punisher. Why? Well, because he just goes around and kills everyone. That's not a hero to me.
That was a reflection of the times, I think, and it was not a good place.
Yeah, absolutely. And then, of course...
Though the Punisher and Archie crossover was pretty interesting.
Archie...
Andrews.
Really?
Yeah, they did a crossover with Archie.
Betty
the
could
Punisher.
Only go so long, and then she snaps.
I don't
Punisher,
know what that means.
Archie is mistaken for the Punisher's actual target.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Was it supposed to be a comedy, I assume? Or?
It was a blending of the two, yeah.
Okay. Wow. I might actually
don't worry.
Look at that.
You know,
I'm sure Archie survived.
As you might
survived.
Predict, Archie survives.
Yeah. We can't say that maybe the same for Jughead. But
or Mr. Lodge. I didn't say anything.
Then in the 90s was one of their more controversial storylines, which was the Clone Saga.
Yeah.
Now, a lot of people didn't like that Clone Saga.
I read it.
I thought there were some
the comics.
I thought there were some good things that came into that. I liked the Return of the Jackal. I thought the Jackal was a great villain for that. And I ended up liking Ben Reilly even more than Peter at that point. And they resurrected the Green Goblin during that story. And that was around, the 80s was when they finally married off Peter with MJ was in the late 80s. But then MJ became pregnant in the 90s, and then they killed
him. Whatever happened to that baby? Well, you don't know.
Well, see, this is where my issues with Spider-Man really hit the wall. Was about
hang on,
the time,
this is going to be a long one.
Was when I had no problem with Peter and Mary Jane marrying. Mm-hmm. I thought it was about time.
Yeah, and I was upset when they undid it.
That was where I stopped.
One more day.
One more day was to me, I either have to sacrifice my wife, my kid, or I have to sacrifice my 99-year-old aunt. Mm-hmm. Well, I can't let the aunt die.
Well, essentially his mother figure.
Right. But still, she's 99.
She wasn't that old.
I know, but she was old.
She's 60 at best.
She was not Marissa Tomei.
Well, I was saying, though May,
surprise.
You know, interestingly enough, May got, I think, younger as the comics went on.
Well, she
because when it started out, it was like she was this little old gray-haired, frail, tell her my secret identity because she'll have a heart attack.
Right.
To now she's running, last I knew, unfortunately I haven't really kept up the comics past since COVID, she was running her own charity, working at charity and everything.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Helping things out. Yeah. I think they even got her married again to J. Jonah Jameson's father.
Oh. He's still alive?
Yeah.
I didn't
but that's that. What I'm saying. I think she's probably in her 70s now.
Well,
she's not she's not frail anymore. No one ever talks about her heart problems.
Right. And I guess what interested me the most during that time period was their marriage, was how they were trying to juggle everything. The fact that then Mary Jane became pregnant, and there was even hints, if I remember this correctly, that they all thought the baby had died.
Right, but it was stolen.
But Norman Osborn had the baby, because I remember Tombstone had something to do with that.
And he took May, the name of the baby, I think, to Europe.
Right.
Or something, but I think they just dropped it.
And they did.
And we never heard again.
Because John, at the time, editor-in-chief, John Quesada, did I say that right? John Quesada, came in and said, Peter Parker should never have been married. That was a mistake. And so they made up this stupid story where Mephisto gave Peter the choice. You can either, your Aunt May is about to die, you can either let her live, but you have to get rid of your whole married life and like it never existed, or you let your old aunt die.
Yeah.
And you know,
well, and MJ's
it made
one,
no sense.
MJ's and MJ talks him into it,
right? But it still made no sense to me.
Yeah, it was clearly just to reset the world. And you know, it's like, okay, so Mephisto has that kind of power.
Yeah, that was the other thing. It's like,
and Peter Parker is that important to the universe?
Yeah, but apparently,
yeah. But and as soon as that happened, I read for maybe a year after that, and then I said, I'm no longer interested because he had just climbed and built, and it was like, okay, I get this because we're all aging.
Down again.
And then it's just like,
is interesting because then DC turns around, not to make a comparison, but you know, then decide we're going to marry Superman off, and they haven't gone back on that. And to me, that's the character who should be single still.
Yeah, yeah,
But
he's still married after all these years?
I believe so.
Yeah.
Wow. They have a son.
I knew what they had
and what people in forget
one of the TV shows,
but
I didn't know.
The Superman who's out there now is a merger of the New 52 Superman and what I guess we would call the original Superman. Not the Earth 2. Not the
not
original
Earth
2,
but Earth 1.
Our Earth.
Yeah, one. Our Earth
Prime.
Yeah.
Because I remember that episode. They basically put it together and suddenly they're married and Lois rediscovered henna.
Wow. I didn't know any of that because DC, I kind of quit reading
I mean,
longer than
listeners, Marvel. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Yes. We have a Facebook page. Go on our Facebook page, Pop Culture.
Because as much as many comics as I have, as many I've ever read, I don't know everything about them.
Things tend to blur, too.
Things blur.
Yeah, after all these years.
Well, they keep using the same storylines over and over.
Well, it's like soap operas.
Well, you look at these characters.
Phoenix is back again.
Spider-Man, is 60 years old.
Yeah.
You know, the character, or at least approaching it, I'm sure.
Well, yeah, he came out
Snoopy's
in, what, 63?
At least 75 years old.
Yeah, well, and Batman, Superman, we're talking 80s.
80s, right. 90, yeah. Which, by the way, I've always thought if they're going to kill off one character, it should be, I have no problem killing off Bruce Wayne if they keep Dick Grayson as Batman, because I think Dick Grayson would be a better Batman than Bruce Wayne, personally.
Yeah.
But that's a whole story for
because he wouldn't have all the
angst.
Though oddly enough, he should have it because his parents died, essentially in the same circumstances.
But he doesn't have
Batman Beyond's Terry Guinness and make him Batman.
Yeah,
I liked him too.
Well, and that's because Bruce never wanted Dick to be his own man, so he never forced him to say, "Okay, but you need to be Batman."
Yeah. Although he's done the.
On occasion.
We're not talking about.
Stuff. I know. Yeah. I know. Well, yeah, that's the problem with comics. It's easy to tangent off into something else.
But with Spider-Man, Norman, Norman Osborn, I remember when they made a big deal about bringing him back.
Mm-hmm. Because they had killed off Green Goblin. I'm not a clone. I'm not this. It's me. It's really me, and you can't do shit.
And I remember the in-house ads were basically, it's like, these have, you know, it's never been about the Green Goblin. Norman Osborn has always been the enemy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And even Green Goblin was just a means to the end. Norman Osborn was always his problem.
And really, as the comics progressed in the 2000s as well, I mean, Norman became, he became the head of a government agency, Hammer, you know, which was kind of like a S.H.I.E.L.D. sort of thing, but only a little bit more evil.
Yeah. Lex Luthor with style.
Yeah. Lex Luthor with style. Absolutely. Yeah. How you doing over there, Jeff?
So I did read comics when I was a kid. Uh-huh. It was usually Sergeant Rock.
Was it Betty or Veronica?
It was the Untold Story.
It involves a cup.
Loved his little Lotta.
Captain America. I heard it. No, I've been, right. But you we'll know, but my knowledge of Spider-Man is basically from the movies and a little bit of the cartoon series when it was out. But you talk about the Green Goblin. I just keep feeling Willem Dafoe. I thought was an excellent Green
Goblin. That man can play crazy.
He can play crazy. I really thought they went a little over the top with that one.
You did?
Do you?
Yeah.
Well, again, I'd like to, the end of the Spider-Verse, that Green Goblin was hit it right on the nose. That's just me.
You know what? Since we're talking about Green Goblin and Julie wants to leave again, this is twice now that I've made her stand over there in the corner.
Is she done signing all her autographs, or do we have to bring in the children?
We're going to do our getting to know you question of the episode. Hit it, Julie.
Getting to know you, getting to know all about you.
Thank you, Julie. All right, gentlemen, I asked you on this episode, what were your three favorite Spider-Man villains? And this time we're going to go, we're going to start with Dave.
Well, Otto Octavius.
Okay.
I think it's actually my favorite one because he's also sympathetic and he spent some time as the superior Spider-Man.
I did hear that.
When he took over Peter Parker's body.
I've heard it was.
It was actually pretty good. It was interesting how Otto.
Yeah, I've heard that. I never read it.
He tried to be a good guy, but it just didn't.
I do think
it was an interesting study for a year or so.
I do think the gentleman who played him in the movies, and I can't think of his name right now, was amazing, and no pun intended. But and I do my favorite of the Tobey Maguire movies is the one with Doc Ock, because that has some. Like you said, he's a sympathetic character, as well as that scene on the subway train is one of the best action scenes I've ever seen in any Spider-Man movie. Yeah.
And that of course happened over time because it really just kind of started out.
Yeah,
it was a typical villain and then grew into it. Green Goblin, I think, is up there just because he's a constant.
Yeah,
he is Spider-Man's Joker, so to speak. The yin and the yang kind of idea. Mm-hmm. The other one is not strictly a villain. Mm-hmm. And in fact, he's not a villain now. Last I started was with comics, I'm going to say J. Jonah Jameson.
Ooh.
He's not a villain, but he's a foil.
Protagonist.
Yeah. Antagonist.
Oh, you're right.
Which I think when I last stopped the comics, and I really have to get back to my Marvel Unlimited app, J. Jonah Jameson knew the secret now and was helping Spider-Man.
Really?
Which caused a whole new level of problems. Hmm. So they may have undone that by now because, again, it's one of those things, once the joke's over, how do you deal with that? Yeah. And Jonah, let's face it, has a thin skin. It doesn't take much to tick him off.
Yeah, that's true.
But he's another character. Expertly played by J.K.
I want to say J.K. Rowling's, and I know that ain't it.
Rowling.
Abrams? No.
Shoot.
Ron, unfreeze yourself. We no one wants to get on their phone.
But not the woman who wrote Harry Potter.
No, the other one.
And we should know because he's from Michigan.
Is he?
Yeah, he's from Detroit area.
Oh wow!
But anyway, he plays it so well that they carried him over from one series to the next. But because when I first saw him, it's like he.
J.K. Simmons.
J.K. Simmons. The insurance guy, the farmer's insurance.
Yes.
Yeah. No, but when he played it, it was like that man was born to play.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. And one of the best moments in the second Tobey Maguire movie is at the very, very end when him and MJ are swinging, and all of a sudden there, you don't think he's ever coming back, and boom, there he is on the big screen saying, "Spider-Man is Peter Parker."
Yeah.
And it's like, I remember just the whole audience, it was first day, and the audience just roared. Loved it. It was just like, yes, he's back. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Good. Yeah. Good.
So those are my choices.
Yeah. Jeff.
Again, my limited knowledge, it would be from the movies.
Sure.
So I will say The Green Goblin, I think mostly because of Willem Dafoe.
Oh, absolutely.
I did like Doc Ock and mm-hmm. Venom, just because it was a total different, just a very intimidating, scary-looking thing.
Mm-hmm.
I tell you, I did not care for The Sandman, though. I thought it was a really weak
Hayden type of, Church.
Yeah, Hayden, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I liked him in Wings, but I...
I think he had the look... Mm-hmm. But it was kind of a weaker character.
It was a weak character.
It was a weak character. I agree with you on that. What about you, Bob?
Well, I have to complete the series here. So, Green Goblin, Doctor Doom.
He did fight Doctor Doom a few times.
Mm-hmm. And because I'm kind of stretching the bottom of the barrel here.
Well, you can choose the same one. I don't have any new ones.
Go on, and I'll do it later.
Okay. Well, speaking of Dr. Doom, Bill, but Spider-Man would often fight villains who were not his villains.
Right.
You know, everyone thinks a Kingpin is a Daredevil villain.
Is it Spider-Man? No,
but
villain.
He Spider-Man. Was a Spider-Man villain as much
there
as
there we
anything.
Go, Kingpin.
Kingpin, yeah. Okay. Which, again, masterfully played by...
D'Onofrio?
Yes.
Oh, Vincent.
Vincent D'Onofrio.
The guy who got eaten in Jurassic World.
Yes.
Sorry, spoiler alert.
But you know he's brilliant. And I think the new Marvel series Echo just came out. I think he's back in that as well.
Yeah.
So I haven't watched it yet. But
which answers the question? I presume what happened to him after Hawkeye.
Yeah, I want to know. It's like
we just heard the shot.
Shot, and that's all we heard. Which was a good miniseries, in my opinion, too. I like I watch it every Christmas. It's a Christmas movie. Christmas series.
Of course.
It is. Mine are number one, and you, I think, hit the nail right on the head, Green Goblin, only because, he is Spider-Man's Joker, his Lex Luthor. Yeah. He's, you know, it. And I do believe in what they say is right. It's really not the Green Goblin. It's Norman. Yeah. Norman Osborn is the... Although I will say this... and I'll tangent a second here. As much as I did like William Dafoe as the Green Goblin, and I really, really did like Michael Keaton as the Vulture, I thought he did an extremely good job. I still say Michael Keaton would have been an awesome Norman Osborn.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
I think he would have been the better Norman Osborn. Yeah. Nothing against William Dafoe. I think as Norman Osborn goes, I think Keaton would have sold
Keaton's
it more.
Madness would have been a little quieter, but it's there, those eyes.
Yeah. Absolutely. My second one, again, Doc Ock, both in the comics and in the movies, but especially in the movies. And that last movie where he comes back was a redemption movie for that character.
Yes, right.
And I loved that. I really, really did. And then my third one, only because there was a comic series that I just absolutely loved. And I want to say it was either called The Last Hunt. Which was Kraven the Hunter. I loved Kraven the Hunter. Now, I'm not 100% sure if Kraven is a total Spider-Man.
I don't know who else he goes against.
I think he's fought Daredevil. It seems like Daredevil and Spider-Man villains just kind of cross each other.
One of the issues with the Marvel Universe is it's really Marvel's Manhattan.
Yeah.
Though Spider-Man technically lived in Queens.
He did.
But you know, it's, you know, so many of the characters are based right there in New York City.
Yeah. Yeah, which I've always
obviously
got
crossing
anyway.
Paths all the time.
Yeah, and no matter how many times I watch any of those Marvel movies, and a lot of them do take place in Manhattan. My husband, who is so tired of me watching all these movies over and over and over, we both still do the we've been there. Oh, I remember that. You know, you just kind of, and we'll be walking through New York City, and I'll go, I think that's where. Oh, and be able to go, yeah.
This person just threw up on my shoes.
Especially when we're, every once in a while, as we're crossing a street when we're in Midtown, we'll be by Grand Central and that the path where the straight line, I can't think of the name. I want to say it's Lexington, but I'm not 100% sure. That takes you right into Grand Central, and then the Met, MetLife is there. I get extremely fan tickled because when I'm standing in there, I think this is where the battle for New York was, and I look at the MetLife and I think, oh, and there's Avenger Tower looming over the, you know.
That's where I think that's where Godzilla walked through the building.
The amazing shape-changing Godzilla.
At least I think that's what the one he walked through. I don't remember.
I also want to say for least favorite Spider-Man villains in the movies. For me, I wasn't a huge fan of Jamie Foxx's Electro. He, to me, was probably the weakest. I like that they put him more in the right costume in the final movie.
Yeah.
But he just, that was a waste.
He thought he was in a Jamie Foxx movie. It's like, it's a Spider-Man movie.
Yeah. But anybody collect any merchandise or have any Spidey merchandise as kids?
Just the underoos I'm wearing.
Thank you, Johnny.
What?
No judgment here.
You don't need to show us.
Yeah.
I had a Spider-Man Mago.
I did too.
Yeah.
Cloth, did you?
The cloth uniform.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I had that and Green Goblin. Those were the two I had.
I didn't have a Green Goblin.
Oh, yeah.
My Goblin.
I had one of those.
The English version of G.I. Joe, which is called Action Man, actually came out with a series of 12-inch dolls. It was the actual dolls, but you could change the outfits. Right. Mm-hmm. There was a Captain America. There was a Batman Robin. There was, I believe there was a Spider-Man as well. So these are
outfits. Flash Gordon.
Flash Gordon, yeah. There was a Sergeant Rock, but I think that was an American.
You're talking about Captain Action.
No, Action Man.
No, in America, it's Captain
Action. Captain America, yeah, Captain Action, yes. He had the leotards and the whole, yeah.
With the baseball.
And the laser sword or the bolts, so yeah. So, but no, I didn't have one.
Thanks, Jeff. Yeah.
Expertly set up and threw it away.
I know. Isn't that great?
You know, before time gets too much away, I know Brian and I were talking about this before you guys showed up to the porch. I guess it's a good time to throw it in here just so I can get it in there. So my good friend, I want to give a shout out, Mike McGee. Mike does listen to the podcast.
Out there in Berkeley?
Out there in Berkeley, California. We were talking yesterday, and I explained to him that we're doing a podcast about Spider-Man. He gave me a bit of trivia, which I did not know. Mm-hmm. Maybe you guys know this, but there is a connection between Spider-Man and Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. We're talking about Spider-Man the cartoon series.
Okay.
And I got to pull this up here real quick.
And while you're pulling it up, I want to give another shout out. Since we've shouted out to our fan in, I don't want to say he's a fan, but he listens, in Berkeley. I also give a shout out to our listener in Jackpot, Nevada, that I heard we have a listener out there in Nevada as well. So hello to you.
Hello.
Back to you, Jeff.
All right. So here we go. Paul Soles, S-O-L-E-S, who did the voice of Hermie in Rudolph, did the voice of Spider-Man in the cartoon series.
The 66?
Yes.
1966.
Rudolph's mom, Peg Dixon, she did Betty Brant. Billy Richards, who did Rudolph, did several Spider-Man voices. Donner, the voice of Donner, did Mr. Jameson.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's a production end of a connection, not a connection in mythology.
Well,
because we all know in the DC universe, Santa Claus is an actual person.
Yeah. With powers.
So I presume that in Marvel he is too. So
obviously. Yeah. Thank you, Mike, out there in Berkeley. Mike, yep. That's great. And that is a great piece of trivia. And you know what?
It's time.
Oh, it's time for trivia. How about that? Now, there's a beautiful segue. I'll never get to do that again. Anyway, all right, gentlemen. All right. We're going to start with Bob on this one.
Oh, sweet Jesus.
The first one's easy. I think you two, Jeff might Peter be a little bit of a disadvantage.
I'm sure I'm going to struggle.
Well, Jeff's going to be a little disadvantaged, but we'll see. Number one, Stan Lee and Steve Ditko created Spider-Man. What other Marvel hero did they create together? Was it A, Captain America, B, Doctor Strange, or C, Thor?
With those choices, A.
Captain America? Okay. Captain America, Jeff, Doctor Strange, or Thor?
I'm going to say Captain America.
Okay. It's Doctor Strange.
Yep. Ooh, that was a really short bell.
That was terrible.
Yeah, Doctor Strange was the other Ditko, Stanley. Kirby did Thor, and Kirby actually created Captain America before Stanley.
I would say because Captain America precedes Marvel.
Yeah.
Timely, which became Marvel Comics.
Right. Number two.
Yep.
And Jeff, you start.
Okay.
In the comics, who shot Uncle Ben? Was it A, an unarmed burglar, B, Norman Osborn, C, J.R. Ewing?
Wait a minute. Back up. An unarmed burglar?
No. Who shot? Oh, an unnamed.
Yeah.
Did I say unarmed?
Thank you.
I'm sorry.
Unarmed.
How would he hold the gun?
Yeah.
You got... Never mind.
Unarmed.
Who shot Uncle Ben in the comics? An unnamed burglar, Norman Osborn, or J.R. Ewing?
I'm going to say Norman Osborn.
Okay.
The burglar.
Bob.
Burglar.
The burglar.
And I believe in the Guide to the Marvel Universe, whatever it was called at the time, or in the encyclopedia, he was just named the burglar.
Was he?
Yeah, they didn't even identify him there.
Yeah. But Norman Osborn sent him.
Number three, we're going to start with Dave.
It was the same burglar who stole the payroll at the wrestling match that Spider-Man just won.
Yep.
And that's where the irony comes
in.
If you had stopped him, your Uncle Ben would have died. And that's where the guilt comes in.
And that's where the big line, with great power comes great responsibility. Which, let me say before, I'm going to tangent for a second again. I will say the Holland movies set that line up, in my opinion, brilliantly. Because they never used it. Until, and they had Aunt May up to the very, that last movie, and it's spoiler alert for anybody who hasn't seen that movie, and if you haven't, shame on you. When, as Aunt May dies and she says that, I thought, that was good. Oh. I like that, but that's just me.
I must have been getting popped.
Which, though I disagree,
oh.
I thought that was the worst moment in those series, because all they did was take Aunt May and replace Uncle Ben with her instead of going in a new direction. Because they've changed so much about the Spider-Man mythology at that point. It's like, why are you now just going back to the old trope of here's his motivation? What was his motivation for the past two or three movies?
Oh,
Tony Stark.
Yeah, but I'm just saying.
I know what you're saying.
You know, they had a chance to go in a new direction with May knowing who he was and the whole bit.
Right.
Which they kind of allude to in the first Spider-Man into the Spider-Verse or whatever.
Right.
With Miles Morales, I think. Because they've come across that in May who knows everything. Mm-hmm. But to me, it was like, nope, you went back and dependent. I never understood until that. And I also felt cheated because it's like there was no Uncle Ben in this universe. Because her grave, it was just Aunt May. Yeah. It was just May Parker. There was no Ben Parker already there.
See, that's interesting because I loved all of that. To me, that was what made it all interesting.
No,
was
to me,
that
they were just going back. You know, it's like you're not showing us anything new. You just decided to
being lazy.
To me, it was lazy writing.
Lazy.
See, and to me, it was like pulling the rug out from under you just when you thought you had it figured out. It's like, no, we're gonna. It happens just like it does with all the others.
I saw it coming a mile away.
Did you?
Yeah. As soon as it's like, okay, this is what's
Oh wow.
To me, I felt it's like they had a chance to do something new. And I'm not just saying this because May, of course, is obviously one of my favorite characters.
Is she or is it Marissa Tomei?
Either way, it's still May.
Okay. I personally never cared for that May because I thought she was too young. But yes.
And that was the thing. They'd already changed so much at that point.
Right.
But I never realized that, there is no origin story for Spider-Man yet. Mm. Which was, to Bob's point, we've been watching Spider-Boy, and now we have Spider-Man. Mm-hmm. So the fact that there was no Ben, and so I understand their need to get that tragedy in there to get him motivated
right,
more than he was, yeah, but they could have gone
a different route to
they
do
could
it.
Have gone
it.
I don't know if they could have, but I think they should have been going. I liked the direction that everything was going, and they said, no, we're going to go back to the old way.
We're going to go where it's, we know we're
going back to the familiar. You know, and because then again, you know, they eventually renamed his girlfriend MJ.
Right.
That was pretty clumsy, but clearly people didn't like that MJ was not in the picture at all, nor was Gwen.
Right.
And then they...
Betty was. Then
they had to reset. Okay, Doctor Strange, we'll make everybody forget everything, and we're going to start over anyway. Okay.
It was obvious the production teams didn't talk to each other.
Well, and like I say, I don't know if in the next movie they do another one more day kind of thing and May comes back. Who knows?
Well, they could, I guess. You know,
they could do that, but I'd like to see Marissa Tomei's contract.
Marissa, if you're listening, if you could send Dave just a copy
send me
of your
a
contract,
copy, just Sony, like
a contract, we'd appreciate
Sony,
it.
Sony, you could keep us all in all black. Well, that's, just let us
that's an interesting... Interesting.
Just my two cents.
Yeah, no, I respect it.
No, you don't, but that's okay.
I didn't say I agree with it, but I respect it. There's a difference. Who are we? What the heck?
You got to ask a question.
Yeah, we're on number three. Who did I start with? I started with Bob was one, you were two, you're three. In Spider-Man 3, who do we discover killed Uncle Ben? Was it A, an unarmed, unnamed burglar?
I think it was the unnamed burglar.
I've got this one this time.
Yeah. B, Norman Osborn.
Nope, we already did this question, Bob. Or Brian.
Or C, Flint Marko?
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Just did Who Shot Uncle Ben in the comics.
Oh,
you're talking the movie.
In Spider-Man 3.
I thought you were talking issue number 3. It's like,
we apologize.
They all looked at me like I'm some poor senile old man. Brian, we did that.
Okay, who are the three again?
Spider-Man 3, we discover killed Uncle Ben. A, an unnamed burglar. B, Norman Osborn. C, Flint Marko, Sandman.
It's got to be Flint Marko.
Bob, unnamed burglar. Norman Osborn, Green Goblin, or Flint Marko, Sandman?
Repeat the question.
In Spider-Man 3, who do we discover killed Uncle Ben?
Tobey Maguire, Spider-Man 3.
Yes.
And the answer is?
Chris Garfield.
Unnamed burglar, Norman Osborn.
Unnamed burglar.
Okay. And Jeff.
What did you say?
Flint Marko.
Oh, Flint Marko.
In Spider-Man 3, the movie, Flint Marko Sandman was discovered to be the one who killed. Who,
ironically, was also the unnamed burglar earlier,
in
right?
The thing, yeah.
He became, we just revealed
we just,
who it was.
Yeah.
I don't remember.
Okay, number 4. Right? Yeah. In the pilot for the Amazing Spider-Man TV show, who played J. Jonah Jameson? Was it A, Robert F. Simon, B, David White, or C, Darren McGavin?
Oh, jeez.
What were the names again?
Robert Simon, David White, or Darren McGavin?
Darren McGavin, just for cold check.
Okay.
Yeah, I'd say Darren McGavin.
David White.
David White, who also was more well known as...
What?
Darren's Bewitched. Boss in Bewitched.
Larry Tate.
Yes. Larry Tate.
Yes.
Yep. But then when the series started...
As soon as you said it, was like, oh, yep, David White.
Yeah. Yeah. But then it was, it actually was Robert F. Simon for the rest of the series. Yeah. So, number 5, we're going to start with you, Jeff.
Oh,
yeah. What speed can Spider-Man reach? I don't know by who this is by, but who's
is he in the Spider Mobile?
The Spider Doom Buggy?
Oh my God.
That's one of the flexible.
Five. What speed can Spider-Man reach? Is it A, 100 miles per hour, B, 200 miles per hour, or C, 150 miles per hour?
I'll split the difference, 150.
All right.
Is he swinging on a web?
I assume running. I don't know. I found this trivia question and went, oh, why not? What speed can Spider-Man reach? 100 miles per hour, 200 miles per hour, 150 miles per hour?
Is he laden with coconuts? It's a Monty Python reference. What is this? We have a swallow later.
I know. I couldn't
say, is it an African Spider-Man or a European Spider-Man?
Swallow.
Here's one for you, Monty Python.
I'm going to say 100 miles an hour.
100 miles an hour. What did you say?
150.
You said 150. Bob really enjoyed that joke.
Oh, 100. 100.
200?
200 miles per hour.
Running?
I don't know.
I just don't think so.
I don't think so either.
That would make him a
speedster. What is that costume made of in the car?
Fastest Quicksilver?
I know, because Quicksilver and Flash, they can run a lot faster than that in an hour.
Yeah, some supersonic speed.
I mean, you know, they could make it halfway across the world.
If he's swinging on his web, I'll give you that.
We do need to do a Monty Python.
Oh, yeah. I was just thinking that as soon as he said that. Number six, your President Obama's favorite superhero was A, Superman, B, Spider-Man, C, Captain America.
Oh, well, I guess since we're talking about Spider-Man, I'm going to say Spider-Man, I guess. Yeah.
Sure, Spider-Man.
Bam.
TWIP!
Yeah, Spider-Man.
Sounded like a gimme to me.
It was. Seven.
I'll take it.
It's the only one I'm going to get right.
Who did the voice of Peter in Spider-Man, the animated series? Was it A, Christopher Daniel Barnes?
Yes.
B, would you let me finish?
Play Battleship with a psychic.
B, Dan Gilveson, or C, Neil Patrick Harris?
A.
Neil Patrick Harris to win.
Jeff.
Sounds all right.
Christopher Daniel Barnes, Dan Gilveson, Neil Patrick Harris.
Let's go with Dewey Houser. Neil Patrick.
Dave got it right.
Better known
as.
Okay.
Follow up question. We're going to start with you, Bob, and end with him. Because I knew he'd know it. Okay. Number eight. Which popular movie series did Christopher Daniel Barnes have the same role in? Was it A, the American Pie movies? B, the Brady Bunch movies, or C, the last three Friday the 13th movies?
Friday the 13th.
Okay.
Oh, he said with commitment.
I don't know. American Pie.
Here's the story.
Yep, he played Greg Brady. Did the voice of Spider-Man and played in the movies Greg Brady.
Yep.
I knew you were going to go there. Okay.
I know, and little... Cousin Oliver was
was
killed on was opening splat. Day.
Yep. Bob, number nine.
Oh, geez.
In what issue of Amazing Spider-Man did Gwen Stacy die? Was it A, issue number 111, B, issue number 121, or C, issue number 127?
121.
Jeff.
121.
111.
121. All right, Jeff.
Total guess. I don't know that. Yeah. I never remember the issue number. I remember events, not the issue.
I remember, I could tell you, I'll always remember issues number 136 and 137 of the Uncanny X-Men, because that was, 136 was the death of Jean Grey, and 137 was the funeral when Cyclops left. I don't know why.
But and 138 was a resurrection. I remember
that. Number 10.
The screams that were heard by all the trivia geeks since Marvel destroyed continuity.
Yeah. Number 10. What song played, this is for you, Jeff, what song played during the infamous dance scene in Spider-Man 3, the Tobey Maguire emo moment? Was it A, Walk On by Isaac Hayes, B, Boogie Wonderland by Earth, Wind & Fire, or C, People Get Up and Drive That Funky Soul by Marvin Gaye?
Oh, gosh, I'd say Boogie Land.
Boogie Wonderland, Earth, Wind & Fire?
Yeah.
Walk On By, Boogie Wonderland, or People Get Up and Drive That Funky Soul?
See.
All right. Bob?
I want the song from Austin Powers.
That's not on here.
I know, but I love that song.
Walk On By.
Drive the Funky Bus.
People Get Up and Drive That Funky Soul.
Was that C?
Yep, C. Okay. Yep. Number 11, we go to, who had that one?
My turn.
Your turn. Number 11. What is the name of the AI built in Peter's suit in Spider-Man Homecoming? Was it A, Karen, B, Carol, C, Betty?
I think it was Betty.
C, Betty? All right. A, Karen, B, Carol, C, Betty.
Betty.
And Jeff.
Yes. Karen was the Plankton's wife. Computer wife. So I know it's not that. Betty.
It was Karen.
Oh,
it's Karen.
Yeah. It was the original Karen.
Well, and I couldn't remember, I was taking a guess that because it was a joke towards Betty Brant.
Yeah, that's why,
which is why you put it in there.
Mm-hmm. Over to you, Bob. Number 12. Which singer has a cameo when the Green Goblin attacks the World Unity Fair in the first Spider-Man film? Remember that scene?
Yeah, I do.
A, Mary J. Blige. B, Macy Gray. C, Kylie Minogue.
Macy Gray.
Yeah. Jeff, Mary J. Blige, Macy Gray, Kylie Minogue.
Mary J. Blige is the only one that I really kind of heard of. So.
Okay.
Madonna's not on the list?
No, but you know that's weird because I almost put her on there.
I'll go with A. It's a guess.
Bob got it. Macy Gray.
Macy Gray?
Yep.
I don't even know who the three are because I am so into novelty songs that I I don't know other music.
We heard that 2,000 times a day on all the monitors at Target.
Oh. Yeah.
And now the hit with the hit from Macy Gray.
Try to walk away when I stumble. Yeah, that's the song, but I don't know.
I thought it was the Spider Pig.
Number 13.
Number 13.
Jeff.
Which is also on all the TV monitors.
Yeah. I bet it was. Yeah.
It was.
13. Jeff, complete this Spidey quote from Captain America Civil War, the movie. Hey, guys. You ever see that really old movie? Was it A, Aliens, B, The Empire Strikes Back, or C, Return of the Jedi? Really old
movie. What was the first one?
Aliens. Aliens, The Empire Strikes Back, or Return of the Jedi? Hey, guys, you ever seen that really old movie?
We all went.
Empire Strikes Back.
Okay.
I should know this, but I don't, so I'll say Aliens because I like it.
Okay. Aliens, The Empire Strikes Back, or Return of the Jedi?
Aliens.
Jeff got it, Empire Strikes Back.
Should have known Disney would go for the cross.
Well, there's that. But yeah, that's when he says, here's how we take down Giant Man. We swing around.
Yep.
And
yep.
Just
yep.
Like,
okay.
Number 14, we go with you.
Okay.
These ones are a little bit on the controversial side. So. Mm. 14, which bridge does the final confrontation between Spider-Man and the Green Goblin take place in the first movie? Is it A, the Washington Bridge, B, the Brooklyn Bridge, or C, the Queensboro Bridge?
I'm trying to envision it in my head. I'm going to say the Queensboro Bridge.
All right. Bob, Washington Bridge.
Queensboro.
All right. Jeff, Washington, Brooklyn, or Queensboro?
Brooklyn's too obvious. I'm going to say the Washington.
Queensboro Bridge.
Yeah.
Yep.
I was trying to remember. It's like, just looking for the bridges. It's like, I think of the comics, was it?
Oh, nope. Boy, you are always one step ahead of me, aren't you, Dave? All right.
Spoiler Dave.
Spoiler Dave.
Well, I was going to ask a question, so I don't know for real.
Yeah. Bob, we're going to start with you. 15. I got 16 of these again, too. So, okay, 15. In the comics, which bridge did Gwen Stacy die on, as told by Stan Lee? Was it A, the Brooklyn Bridge, B, the Queensboro Bridge, or C, the Washington Bridge?
I'm going to say Brooklyn.
Okay, Jeff.
Brooklyn.
Brooklyn.
Yes. Although, whoever was drawing, I can't remember the name.
It looks more like Washington.
It looks more like the Washington Bridge.
But when you said, as Stan Lee said.
Well, no, I take that back.
Too late
now. It was drawn as the Brooklyn Bridge, but Stan Lee wrote the Washington Bridge.
Oh, okay.
So that's what confused everybody for years, because it's like, well, Peter keeps saying it was the Washington Bridge, but actually it was drawn as the Brooklyn Bridge.
Yeah, because it was the brown brick. And
mm-hmm. Yep. And finally, last one.
But the Washington Bridge is on the other side of town, so it makes no sense for it to be.
Yeah. Last one, and I'm really sorry you're not here, Ron, because this one I just grab for you.
The Dodgers.
Who do we start with, Jeff?
Yeah, let's get him on the phone.
What? Number 16. What is the name of the wrestler played by Randy Savage in the first Spider-Man movie? Was it A, Crusher Hogan, B, Bonesaw, or C, the Bronx Mangler?
I'd say Bronx Mangler.
Okay.
C.
Bronx Mangler?
Mangler.
Bonesaw. Oh, it is Bonesaw.
Oh, see, Crusher Hogan was going to be my second choice.
Yeah, and I like that choice. Anyway, thank you, gentlemen, very much.
Yeah, that was
and
so much fun.
A little
that
bit of a fun. Spider-Man thing there. I'm so glad you let me do that. I love Spider-Man. Like I said, he's one of my original Trinity. So I want to thank everybody again. Please check out our Facebook page, Popped Culture. If you get a chance, drop us a line, say hi. You know what? If anybody out there has ideas they'd like to hear us talk about or not talk about, go ahead and throw them on there. I also want to thank these gentlemen who come back every time on the porch with me here. But thank you out there.
Thank you, Brian.
Thank you, Impact Studios, here high atop the Benesch Building in downtown Monroe, Michigan. And, folks, our next episode, our final episode of February, I think, I am finally, if Ron's thawed out by then, I am bringing these guys out off the porch and into my home for a night of old-fashioned board game fun. And once we play those games, we're going to come back, and our next episode will be all about old board games. So I'm looking forward to it. I think we're going to have a lot of fun. I'm probably going to drink bourbon, so I don't know what I'll remember, but we'll see. I can't wait for them to tell me what I did. Until then, please, you know, you've heard it before, but it really, really is true. Stay off our lawn.
Spider-Man, Spider-Man, does whatever a spider can. Spins a web any size, catches thieves just like flies. Look out, here comes the Spider-Man. Is he strong? Listen, bud. He's got radioactive blood. Can he swing from a thread? Take a look overhead. Hey there goes the Spider-Man. In the chill of night, at the scene of a crime, like a streak of light, he arrives just in time. Spider-Man, Spider-Man, friendly neighborhood Spider-Man. Welcome fame, he's ignored. Action is his reward to him. Life is a great big pain. Wherever there's a hang up, you'll find a Spider-Man.
Who is Spider-Man? He's a criminal, that's who he is. A vigilante, a public menace. What's he doing on my front page?